Geologist Lewis Owen deals in very small quantities.
And you can see that's a little steel disc, and on there you can see just a little smear of sand grains.
That's what's left of one sample he brought home from the Himalayas. Owen is trying to reconstruct where glaciers were in the past and how climate change will affect the world's future. For a quarter century, the University of Cincinnati professor has been making trips to China, Tibet, India, and Pakistan.
I think some of the most spectacular areas we've worked have been in northern Pakistan, which is very inaccessible now because of political reasons. Working up around K2 was very spectacular. We spent many days walking up the glacier collecting samples. That involved a lot of help from the local people, the local porters. We spent about 3 months up there.
He says these are the longest slopes on the planet. Mountains are miles above the glaciers, and it's the most dramatic landscape in the world. He got a great view of the billions of stars while sleeping in a hammock between crevices. While on the scene, he's making maps and collecting samples. Research tells him glaciers are fickle.
And why is it in one area that glaciers advance, responding to climate change, where in other regions they're stable or melting away? So it's that complexity we're trying to understand. And if we can understand that complexity, we can make better predictions for the future.
Owen's last trip was to northern India a year ago, where he says the mountains are just crumbling away. We look at some of the pictures on his computer.
Look at all the debris on this. Here's the glacier front. Here's a lake that's formed in front of the glaciers. The glacier's melting. And this is what I was saying before. These are the kinds of lakes that can burst through debris dams.
One of the concerns is that as glaciers melt, they cause big lakes to form that swallow up towns. Other problems include landslides, earthquakes, and violent weather swings. His 25 years of research has been sponsored by the National Science Foundation and National Geographic. Owen's latest paper is published in the March 15th edition of Quaternary Science Reviews. Back in the lab, Owen tries to make sense of it all.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is the cosmogenic lab, and what we do in here is process the samples we've collected from our field areas, and what we're trying to do is to get pure quartz out of our samples. So we break up the rock, we crush it up, and then we get pure quartz, and then we add some beryllium-9 carrier to this, and then we dissolve the rock, and what we get out in the end would be a little tiny sort of grain of beryllium.
Owen uses two tests to date the material. Cosmogenic dating is one of them. Small amounts of exotic nuclides form in the rock surface. A mass spectrometer at Purdue determines how long that rock surface has been there. It measures the rate of beryllium 9 to 10 and then can determine how much beryllium 10 is in the rock. Beryllium 10 is produced by the bombardment of cosmic rays on rock surfaces. The mass spectrometer is measuring atoms. If there are 50 atoms, it means the rock is 10 years old. If there are 500 atoms, it means it's 100 years old.
It's like putting a little sprinkle of salt in an Olympic-sized swimming pool, the amount of concentration that's actually in. If you imagine the beryllium 10 being the salt and the Olympic-sized swimming pool being just 1 gram of quartz.
He says over 25 years he's found rocks in the Himalayas that range in age from just a few years to 4 million years old. There is another dating test Owen uses. It is called optically stimulated luminescence, or OSL. This will tell you how long minerals were last exposed to daylight. Owen puts some samples in a tube immediately after he collects them, and from the sediment in the middle of the tube, he collects pure quartz. In a dark room, he measures radiation damage using infrared light. Owen believes UC is the only university in the U.S. to have both dating systems. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Ann Thompson.